Please listen to the teachings by generating the proper motivation in accordance with the tradition of the lineage lamas by thinking that for the benefit of all mother sentient beings who pervade the infinitude of space, I must attain the unsurpassable, pure, completed state of enlightenment. And in order to attain the state, which is completely free of all mistakes, perfected in all qualities, in order to attain the state that I'm going to listen to the most profound, pure Mahayana teachings. So, when listening to these teachings, then, just as the Buddha advised, saying that one should listen well, listen excellently, and keep it in your mind. So, the teachings that one may listen to are the collection of the Hinayana teachings and the collection of the Mahayana teachings, and within the Mahayana collection, you also have the Mantrayana collection of teachings. These teachings that we listen to, that we contemplate on, that we analyze, that we meditate upon. When engaging in any of these activities of listening, you know, analyzing, or developing the understanding of it, or meditating on it, the most important point to beginning any of these activities is is cultivating the proper motivation. So, it is the it is the quality of our motivation that makes these practices pure practices. It is the quality of our motivation which makes these practices become Dharma practices. If we have a faulty motivation, such as engaging in the study or the listening or the meditation, with the sole objective to free ourselves from the problems of this one brief lifetime, or to secure the happiness of this one brief lifetime, or if our motivation is only to secure higher rebirth in the future, immediate future lifetime, so as not to be reborn in the three lower realms, such as these motivations are regarded as very limited and faulty motivations. In the same way, when we listen to these teachings or develop the understanding of it or meditate on it with the thought seeking only our own individual benefit, then the practice becomes the practice of the individual vehicle, the Hinayana path and practice. So therefore, when we engage in any of these practices of listening, understanding, and meditation, then in order to derive the most greatest benefit from these activities, then one should engage in these activities with the highest altruistic motivation, not only for the self, but for the benefit of all mother sentient beings, in order to free sentient beings from every suffering and to enable every happiness, in the ultimate happiness. Just as oneself does not want any suffering or problem in life, just as oneself wishes the ultimate happiness, then sentient beings equally want the same. So therefore then, to generate the highest altruistic aspiration to attain the enlightened state of the mind, free from all the mistakes, perfected in all the qualities and knowledge, and to attain the state only for the welfare of others, only for the sake of mother sentient beings. So with this motivation then, when we engage in the activities of listening, understanding, and meditation, then we can receive the greatest benefit from these activities because of this motivation that we have generated. And not only for this, even in our daily activities, such as when we get up in the morning, then generating the bodhicitta motivation, cultivating within one's mind the highest altruistic motivation. In the same way, when we engage in our prayers or commitments in the morning, then generating this highest altruistic motivation. So in this way, one ensures all of these activities of our daily prayers, and all the activities of listening, understanding, meditation, for it to become a direct cause for our liberation. All of these activities, because of this motivation, then plants the seed, becomes like planting a seed towards attaining enlightenment for oneself and for others.
ဝိဒ္ဓတိတဝိဒ္ဓံသူဆောင်နေဂျီမဇုဝိဒ္ဓတံညလံဂျီရံပါလံရမစေဂျီဝါရီလံရမစေဂျီတေယံဂျီသံဂတံနေနာယံဂျီလံစေဂျီရမစေဒီနာဂျီလံစေဂျီဒေလာယံဂျီလံဂျီဝမယံပါဂျီရံပါရံပါခေါမဘူးဂျီဝါရီသူလံရမစေဆောင်ယံဂျီဝါရီဂျီရံသန်လာဆောင်ဂျီလံရမစေဆောင်ယံဂျီဝါရီတင်တာကေဆောင်ဂျီလံရမစေဂျီဒီပိုကောင်ဂျင်းကဂျလာဂျီသံမီမရဂွန်တော်ဂျီလံရမဒီ ဒါဒီကပ်စဘူဂျီယောဂျီလာလာမရှောင်ချိုးအစီဂျီဝဒဒီရအဲအဲဂျိုးဂျီဘာနဲ့အာဒီချာလာမာဂျီတဘခခခရှိဂျီကိုနဒါဒီကပ်စဘူကောင်ချင်းကိုကြောင်းလာဂျီငါဂျီချင်းကြမေပေါ်နာဆုံးစေဆောင်သံဂမ်ဘူရောင်းဒါဂျီထဆောင်ဒီစင်တော်တင်ရဂျီမရမ္ဘဂျင်းဆောင်ဂျီဂျီတင်ဘဝညီဝညီဝဒီတာဂျီယောတာရှင်ဂျီဝရှိဝရဒီယောဂျီချင်းဘာချစ်ကချေတယောဂျီမရညာမချောက်ချောင်း တနည်းစရကျညာဘာဒီဆိုရကလေတဲ့တင်တဲ့ယူရရင်သူတင်ရသည့်သံနဲ့တွဲရှိရနေတယ်လား
So when we take the sutra teachings of the Buddha, then known as the graduated path to enlightenment, by saying that it is a graduated level of the path, then in itself shows varying different levels of the stages of the path, whereby which one may attain enlightened state of the mind. So the way in which this stages of the path was first established in Tibet. Although, it must be noted that these teachings were already taught by the Buddha himself in the collection of the Prajnaparamita sutras of the Buddha. Within that, all the stages of the path are already set in there. But for the very intelligent, they know exactly how to serialize their stages of the practice. For the very capable or very intelligent, then they are able to set up for themselves the step by step or stage by stage format of the practice. But the way it is presented to today, as known as the graduated path to enlightenment, was what came about through the writings of the great Indian master Lama Tisha, who was invited to Tibet by this Tibetan king by the name of Chanchub He. Although the Dharma spread in Tibet, during the times of the king Sunsun Gambo to Sundasen and the third king, and during that time the Dharma was well established and widespread, but it went through a decline. It went through a terrible decline, and then when Lama Atisha was invited by this King Chanchub He, then it was specifically with the motivation to revive the Dharma in Tibet. And so it was through the request, the kind of request that Chanchub He presented to Lama Atisha in response to Chanchub He's request, then Lama Atisha composed this particular format known as the graduated stages of the path. And within the completion of that writing, then Lama Tisha himself states, saying that this is my response to the request of the fortunate good disciple Chanchub He. So within the Lamrim, the graduated path to enlightenment, then you have a path and practice common to those of small capacity, medium capacity, and highest capacity. And the objective goal of all of these paths and practice is to attain enlightenment, or the state of a Buddhahood. So whether we talk about enlightenment or the state of Buddhahood, It is the same thing in referring to that state which is completely free of all the failings, all the mistakes, completely developed or perfected in all the knowledge and qualities. So this is the objective. This is the goal of the graduated path to enlightenment. In order to attain this goal, then you have the path and practice set forth for the small, middling, and highest capacity. The ultimate, path of practice is the path and practice set forth for the, for those of the highest capacity. And the main thing to overcome are the two types of obscurations. And in order to abandon the two types of obscurations that enables us to attain enlightenment which is free of the two types of obscurations, then this cannot happen without causes and conditions. It has to be caused through the true truths and by the path of the method and wisdom that one can attain the objective goal of the goal of enlightenment or the state of Buddha's enlightenment. So this result is completely dependent on the path of method and wisdom, which in turn is based in the true truths, the two realities, conventional and ultimate realities. So in this way, you have the entire graduated path to enlightenment founded on the basis, path, and result. So the Buddha himself has stated within the sutra of the Prajnaparamita, Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, within those sutras, Buddha himself stated saying that all the Buddhas of the past and all the Buddhas of the present and all of the Buddhas of the future have relied on this path as taught within the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras to attain their enlightenment. And there is no other path other than what has been set forth in the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras for enabling the result of enlightenment. So that is a very clearly set forth by the Buddha himself, that what is taught within the Prajnaparamita, the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, is the path enabling enlightenment for those of the past, present, and future, and that there isn't a path other than this, as explained within those collection of teachings. So accordingly, then you have based on those original teachings of Buddha, then Lama Atisha composing what is known as the lamp of the path, setting forth the step-by-step practice to attaining enlightenment. And based on this, then you have the many different presentation of the graduated path to enlightenment by the various Buddhist schools. For example, in accordance with the writings of Longchen Rabjamba, you know, then you have what is known as the title known as the words of my perfect teacher, and then Longchen So these are from the Nyingma tradition, like Longchen Rangchenpa, Longchen Zodun, whose writings are although titled as the words of my perfect teacher or the transmissions, the advice or instructions of my perfect teacher, like that, they are all basically Lamrim in the Nyingma tradition. Then in the Kagyu tradition, then you have Thapu Gombobo's writings known as the jewel ornament of liberation. Also, although titled as this, it still is the graduated path to enlightenment. And in the Sakya tradition, you have what is known as Lamde, path and result, which is again rooted in the graduated path to enlightenment. And in accordance with the Gelugpa tradition, then you have the great exposition on the graduated path to enlightenment, the medium and the small, composed by Lama Tsongkhapa. Then you have condensed Lamrim, and the most short version is the foundation of all good qualities, which is basically Lamrim, graduate path to enlightenment, which is undertaken as a practice in a way in which you receive these series of blessings of these realizations of these various stages of the path. So in this way, graduate path to enlightenment is common to all of the Buddhist traditions.
kanto yangwa yangwa drusam kwa nama chudam jindu diyawari. Da kanto da yangwa da yangwa drusam je ti niga dhimba chuyawari. Kanto je chudam dhimba chuyawari tumbari se na susura se na chusam javadi da kathama yandimu.
So when the you know, within the lamrim, the gradual path of enlightenment is contained all of the practices that needs to be cultivated. So of the teachings that the Buddha gave then, at the first turning of the wheel of Dharma, then the teachings were on the Four Noble Truths, within which Buddha taught on true existence as well. And then at the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, then you know, where he taught the non-existence inherent existence, basically teaching on emptiness, you know, that phenomena does not exist by way of its own characteristics. And so here, because of teaching on selflessness, and then when you compare the words of the teachings from at the first turning of the wheel and the second turning of the wheel, then looks like the words look contradictory, because in the first turning of the wheel there is mentioning of true existence, and then at the second turning of wheel of Dharma, which is the basically that there is no existence by way of its own characteristics, and thereby establishing that all phenomena do not exist inherently, do not truly exist. So the two, there a lot of controversy appears like as if there is contradictions, and so questions that arose from these two first two turning of the wheel of Dharma. Then, in answer to that, then you had the third turning of the wheel of Dharma. Excellently sort of clarifying the various aspects of the Buddha's teachings. So, when Buddha taught saying that that there is no true existence, then it doesn't mean that it is totally non-existence. So when we classify phenomena into these three categories of kuntak means completely labeled phenomena, and other phenomena, and thoroughly established phenomena. Within these three categories, then you have all phenomena contained within it. And of these three, then everything which is shenwang means the other existence, and yongdu, which is thoroughly established phenomena, then they are regarded as truly existent phenomenon. And then in the category of imputed phenomena, then all imputed phenomena in this category, then all of the phenomena in this category are empty of true existence. So in the third turning of the wheel of Dharma, then much of the teachings are in answer to the questions that arose from the first and the second turning of the wheel of Dharma.
Oji da dinda ga ji da ga da mo den ji jingur ni ba tin me be jingur san ba la ba na ba ji ba jingur san bu gon ba che de ja ba de ja di de ja man da ba ri ri ga che de so ma yin du ji ga da mo den ji jingur ko za ga che de ja ba de ja di ji ga hon bu ram den ga na ni ji ji ta man da wo yin din ni oji da ga ba tin me be jingur san za di hon bu non bu ji se mon da wo ji yin din ni oji da dinda yin ba yin du Tambu chete java dhrishan gashi kuta yara tawa ku. Ti nam ku thirtu kan thamanoji chungur te songa yendu. Tendra ku ti chungur sambu gongwa ndriya ku tenchu ku chetu ကျေဘဘတော်မြေကိုကျေတဲ့ချမ်းပါဓမ္မိတဲ့ကျေတဲ့ချမ်းပါဓမ္မိတို့တော်သည်နာနာငမကြီးကကြီးရှိဝတ်တန်တဲ့ရှိမကွေးကြီးဟောကြီးတန်ကုန်ဖို့ရှံပြီးမှာရှေချင်းကန်တို့တော်ချုံကိုရံပါစံဘုတော်တည်မာရကကျွန်းဟောကြပါသည်ကတဲ့ဟာရဖိမ့်တဲ့တာဒီဆရဒူးကြပါသည်ဟောကြီးတဲ့ချမ်းပါကျူတင်ငါစေနေတဲ့ဟောကြီးတဲ့ကျေတဲ့ချမ်းပါဂုံဘူးချမ်းကျူတင်ငါစေကြည့်သည်တန်တို့ကျင်းကြီးစေတူနန်တ ဝဒတိနိတသဘချင်းပေါ်ကြလာမိတဲ့ကျူတော်ကြွားငါဝဒီရှမ်းပကျူတင်ကားဒီမှာဆုံးဒီမှာကျူဂဒင်းလာရည်နေစရမေရဖေဘကပ်စံဘဘသောင်းမေကိုရှမ်းပစောင်းစွာတင်ငါဝဒီတင်တဲ့ယူဝဒတိနိတသဘချင်းပေါ်ကြလာမိတဲ့ကျူကဘုံပါ
So when the Buddha taught at this turning of at this first, second, third turning of wheel dumb, Buddha based his teachings depending on the disciples that were present at that time. So at the first turning of the wheel of Dharma, the disciples at that time of the mental capacity then were regarded as of a lower mental capacity, and those that disciples present at the second turning of the wheel of Dharma were regarded as disciples of the highest intelligence, highest mental capacity. And so the third turning of the wheel of Dharma is basically to do with the many questions that arose from those teachings. Arose from the first and the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, with regards to the collection of the teachings that Asanga received from Maitreya, these five treatises, these five texts. There is a whole story as to how Asanga went through the various practices to attain, to get that direct, teachings from Maitreya. But since that was already covered last year, we won't go into the detail. But we can say that within these five texts are the condensed essence of the entire teachings of the Buddha, the entire Prajnaparamita teachings of the Buddha, and whatever the Buddha taught at these first, second, and third turning of the wheel of Dharma. These five texts contain the essence of these teachings. So they comprise of what is known as the jewel ornament of the sutras, the jewel ornament of the clear realizations, and the distinguishing ching namje. distinguishing phenomena and ultimate reality, that is one. And then the other one is Uthanamji, distinguishing between the two extremes, middle. Distinguishing between the middle and the extreme, right? And then the fifth text is the Uttara Tantra, which is the sublime continuum.
ဝဒိတကွန်ကြောစံတေရောယွာရီကွန်ကြောစံဘုဒ္ဓရီရီနီတီဝဒတိနီကြီးအခမ်းဒီဝရဇဘညံဘုစီကြီးရုစီကြီးတင်ခမ်းဒီဝရဇဘညံဘုတီယကတိဒီဝတံဘုကမ္နာမရတေရောယွာရီ ဒါလေးဝင်ညီပါးကိုဆောင်ချုပ်ဆောင်ကြည့်ကြကောင်းတော့ရအောင်ဆောင်ချုပ်တဲ့တင်ယူပါလိမ့်ဒါလေးဝင်စံပါတိဆောင်ချုပ်ကိုချက်ချွတော်ဝတီရုံတဲ့စကြတဲ့တင်ယူပါလိဟိုဒါလေးဝင်စံပါလေးဝင်ညီပါးတင်ထန်လီညီကဆောင်ကြည့်ကရုံတဲ့ကိုရှေးလီအောင်ထန်လီတော်ဝဆံချက်ကိုကြလာညီပါရင်တဲ့တင်ဒါတင်းမဝင်ဖန်ဝတီယူကနဖန်ကလေးဝတီဒါလေးဝင်မိနော်ဝတီကြောင်ရင်တူတင်းအောင်နေဒါနာနာတောင်ပူ
So the Uttara Tantra, the Sublime Continuum, comprises of five chapters. The fifth chapter is just talks about the benefits. The first chapter talks about the seven Vajra points. And the second chapter talks about, you know, the three objects of refuge, the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, in the context of the rare and sublime three objects of refuge. And then the third, within the third, within the first chapter also is the talking about Buddha nature or the the element of the element of the Buddha nature, the essence of our potential to attain enlightenment. And then also within that first chapter also what is talked about is enlightenment. Then the is Rumshe Nibati Chanjurwa. Second chapter is enlightenment. Third chapter is the qualities of that state of enlightenment. And the fourth chapter talks about the activities, the different divine activities or the activities of that quality of enlightenment. You know, how as sentient beings we receive the blessings of these divine activities. And the fifth chapter is talking about the benefits of all of these. So during last year's course, we already covered the 7 points, and so we will begin from the three objects of refuge, talking about Buddha, beginning with the Buddha object of refuge. The Buddha, it says, the rare and sublime Buddha.
ဟုတ်ကြည်တဲ့တင်တဲ့ရင်ပဲရင်သူကြည်တဲ့နာနာဘုမမတိကြည်ရင်ကိုနေဟုတ်ကြည်တဲ့ချိုချိုတောင်တရားနေကြည်တဲ့ချလိုကဆမ္ရန်တို့ရပါလေဟုတ်တဲ့ဒီသံဘောတိကြည်တဲ့ယောရှာသူကြည်နိဒံဘောချလိုကတောင်ဘုဒီနိဒံဘောတိရိနေငူဆောင်ဟုတ်ကြည်တဲ့တင်ဒီချလိုကညီပါတိနိဒံဘောတိရိရိလာမန်ကြည်ရင်ဒီဘန်တို့ဝယူတင်ကြီး ဒီကတော့တင်တဲ့ကွန်ဒီငေါစီကြီးတင်ပြရင်သူတင်တာဟောဒီဒါတီအကကျိုးကစံပါတီဟောဒီဒါဒီအနိဒံဘွေနောင်းနေဒီကသာတိတိဆန်းကြီးကြီးကွန်ဖောင်းတော်ရရင်သူဆန်းကြီးကြီးဆန်းကြီးကြီးကွန်ဖောင်းတော်ရကိုရှောင်းကျုပ်စီကြီးတီချေကျူးတီရုံတင်ရုံတင်ကိုကိုနေရှိတီတဝဲချေကျူးကြံကရုံတင်ဒီဆန်းကြီးကြီးရုံတင်ဒီ ကျေလီတော်ဝအရှေလီတော်ဝတကာရကြီးဝါရီစေနာဝတတိရှေလီတိဆောင်ကြဝါကိုရှေလီကိုနူပါတိဆံချင်းကကြလာကျေမောင်ဝဘနာကြလာညောင်ရကိုဆောင်ကြကနိဝချီရပါတိရှေလီရရောဝတတိတော်ရမ္ဘာကျင်တဲ့ရောင်ရတိလာတောက်တံဘုကောင်လာကျေရောင်တော်ကြတတ်တိပကျေတိစံကြီးဆောင်ကြီးကိုကြလာညောင်စံဘု ကျေကွန်ကျောစံဒီမရမခွေတဆန်တော်ဝေကျော်ဒီရနာရောင်းလာဟောတေတောင်ချက်တဘကြီးမောင်ဝပါနာဒီကျောက်ကဆောင်ကြီးစေကြီးဆောင်ကြီးကွန်ကျောချူကွန်ကျောဂင်းတော်ကွန်ကျောစံဘောဒီရောင်းကြလာမရညောင်းတော့ကြီးကရင်ဒီကငါဒီစံဘဆောင်ကြီးစောကွန်ကျောစံဘောကြလာချောင်းထရပါလေဒါတဲ့ဆောင်ကြီးချင်းဘဆောင်ကြီးစုကြလာဒါညောင်းတော်ညောင်းချင်းပါရင်ကြီးပါလေမောင်ဝပါနာဒီကြလာညောင်းတော်ရိစေဟောဒီနာဒါဆူဆူကြလာယောင်းရွေးကြ yokundiga samne odadi ndiran dawodi dali soroka sambadi temba yindu tiwadi da nanama ma shutabari dadi ndago
sijin So with regards to the first stanza of the at the beginning, the first stanza just begins with the the homage, and then stating what the 7 points are, and the second stanza talks briefly what the 7 points are, and the third stanza talks about the ultimate goal of these 7 points is basically to attain the state of Buddhahood, the enlightened state of mind, which is and then it talks about the qualities of that mind of enlightenment and the activity of that, what is the activity of that quality? The activity of that quality is to enable or to cause enlightenment in the mind of sentient beings, kind of causing the propensity of enlightenment, causing enlightenment within minds of sentient beings, and that is followed with talking about that these three ultimate objects of refuge, that exist in others, other enlightened beings that embody these three objects of refuge, then utilizing them as your inspiration or model, to inspire oneself in the path, and also understanding that these three objects of refuge is something which can be actualized for oneself in the form of one's own resultant refuge. Just as the past Buddhas have actualized their resultant refuge, and present Buddhas are actualizing their resultant refuge, oneself as sentient beings now have the propensity in future to actualize that resultant refuge for oneself. And by actualizing this resultant refuge of these three objects of refuge within one's mind, then what one comes to attain is a state which is completely free of mistakes and perfected in all the qualities and knowledge. So that is what it means to actualize the resultant refuge within one's own mental continuum. So that is what is stated basically in the third stanza.
The geography in the pocket of the Jimbo Jilam, then choose it and send you a Sanjina, 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 Sanjana, and Jerichavaji. What you that any Dodi needed them on the Nas Hanji, the conjunction on his Hanji conjunct, choose the two conjunct, toss a duke in the conjunct, comes the duke, come diverse of a Yambudi, Dodi need them go longer, conjunction with them, the Jana, Jivati, and the Sanjiv Dingava. Yonde
So the Sanskrit name for this text is known as the Mahayana Sutra Uttara Tantra, known as the Sublime Continuum, essence of one Gandas. And then the first is homage to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And then the first stanza, Rumchi is just going through it briefly and then not doing the explanation. A Buddha and the doctrine meaning Dharma and a community, Sangha, basic constituent, which is the element, and enlightenment qualities, and finally Buddha activities, the body of the entire treatise is in brief these seven diamond topics. So these are known as the seven Vajra points or the seven diamond topics.
Hori dadya oni jidan dhoni tenri ten dambaramba di chulo ganyuva di
And then the second stanza, these seven incarnations are to be known by way of their own natures. In this order, in the questions of King Dharaneshwara Sutra, is how this sutra came to be requested. And then the first three from the introduction, meaning the Buddha Dharma, Buddha Dharma and Sangha taught within the introduction. And the other four from the divisions of the attributes of the intelligent bodhisattvas and of conquerors, from Buddha the doctrine, from the doctrine the community of superiors, from the community the basic constituent of the essential exalted wisdom is attained. So, from this, what it's saying that from the Buddhas arises the Dharma, and from the Dharma arises the Sangha. And in the Sangha is this element, the basic constituent. The transcendental wisdom of the all-knowing mind, which is the goal to be attained, and establishing that that all sentient beings have this basic propensity to attain that state of enlightenment. And finally, from exalted wisdom is attained the supreme enlightenment, endowed with the qualities of the powers and so forth, and effecting the welfare of sentient beings.
โยชานิดังกะตัมโพติยกุมโจสมิยันติกุมโจสังเวนังนิตัมโพสังจีกุมโจยังกะยวาริเตยัมบะยันติสังจีกุมโจละชโลกะออจิตาทุเรมโพจิกะชโลกะทกะเยวารินิสังจีกุมโจละชโจจีจิบะยันติกวาชิตัมมะวินทะเมชะสังจีญะรังนัมสังจีสกังตัมโพสังจีเนนะมาตะตะวะชะรังจิเตตะปะลัมตัมบะตุกังยวะชันติราจะดุจิงจังนะดิมะญะกะจุนติจิงตุกังสัมบะ
So then the fourth stanza begins with talking about the Buddha, the rare and sublime Buddha, and talking about the Buddha object of refuge are the next four stanzas. The first stanza, who is quiescent, who through Buddhification became Buddhified, is self-arisen aspect, and having become Buddhified, taught the path of fearlessness and permanence, so that those who had not realized it might realize it, and who, carrying the supreme sword and diamond of knowledge and mercy, cuts the sprouts of suffering and destroys the walls of doubt that are surrounded by the darkness of various views.
我觉得你那也没人对，我觉得你刚你当地很多，就从你工作了，出不了就不同样个有啊。从你工作管多点着我认定的，他第二年要求了个你，那么几个都是点把的，他就是些人对。我觉得你像现在说呢，起码至少用点几当点把的，我觉得用那个那个么着吧，几点呢？
所以，in this first stanza is in one way there is a brief praise, admiring praise to the Buddha, and a brief explanation of what the Buddhahood is about. And the later stanzas talks about the qualities of Buddhahood, basically talking about eight specific
qualities of the Buddha. 天哪就是张开地用的几部的四角一万的刚刚的九万多块钱呢这个你们喜欢你们喜欢让这男的可以用的自己的用的当铺他几只把老板男的可以用的自己的用的你们人家前期都不是满意的用的三百天天前不用的这位用的你们用的是他那看着我住地上的这个他地囊过去当铺三部
In the part where it says, obeisance to the one who has no beginning, middle, and end, it's talking about the qualities of the Buddha, but it's like it's very comprehensive. So to really understand what is meant in these in this abbreviated version is to go back to the second verse where the qualities of the Buddha are sort of itemized. In this, Buddha has the eight qualities of being uncompounded, meaning by nature pure, and spontaneous, not being realized through the course of others, knowledge, mercy, mean loving compassion, and power or capacity, as well as being the fulfillment of the two aims of oneself and others. So, within these eight qualities, then, there are the first three qualities are the qualities for this tambu sun di randung
randung ji on de na di tambu sun bu di yin dong ge on de na di
three qualities are qualities for the self, and three qualities are specifically for the activities benefiting others.
我觉得今天也没人都觉得你觉得当不你们喜欢是对那一个当你刚去当刚去当嘛，因他没自己的你们喜欢让这男的可以用的，前边人都就是从这个头几个用的自己的那帮头几用的，你上不会话的，帮用的自己的你们喜欢你们喜欢这个他妈的他妈没把是对这个从这个头几个对吧？帮我强搞点的。
So when we talk about the quality of the Buddha being uncompounded, uncompounded quality, refers to the specific quality of being by nature pure. And so because it is uncompounded, it has no beginning, middle, or end. So when we look at the qualities of the Buddha, there are the qualities of qualities that they have, qualities established by what they have abandoned, qualities of what they have abandoned, abandoned, and and the qualities of what they have realized, experienced, or realized. So in their attainment of this cessation of all, in their various attainments of this cessation of the qualities of abandonment, then this quality of being uncompounded by nature pure, then one cannot establish a beginning, middle, or end. So when we talk about uncompounded, the quality of uncompounded also refers to the the Buddha's holy mind, the emptiness of the Buddha's holy the emptiness which is established on the basis of the holy mind of a Buddha, which that emptiness which is unproduced, unceasing in the nature of space itself. So the emptiness of the holy mind of the Buddha, which is which totally negates existence by way of its own nature. So it is in that context that you say obeisance to the one who has no beginning. So no. When referring to no beginning, you can also refer to the the emptiness of the holy mind of the Buddha, as in having no beginning. So in that context, then we can say, sentient beings' mind, sentient beings' mind in emptiness, the sentient beings' mind being empty of inherent existence, is also of that same nature. When we talk about just as space pervading all existence, then emptiness too pervades all existence. The quality, second quality, being spontaneous. Spontaneous, referring to the quality of a Buddha which is pure even in the temporary context, in the immediate context being pure. Spontaneous here refers to the activities of the holy mind of the Buddha in engaging in the activities benefiting sentient beings, then it is spontaneous, that it does not have to motivate, does not have to you know, specifically generate a motivation, and there is no contrived form of motivation in order to engage in the activities benefiting sentient beings, that in the activities, you know, benefiting sentient beings, then for the Buddhists, it is completely, you know, spontaneous. And why is that? It's because when training in the path, they have so habituated the mind over and over again in the activities benefiting sentient beings that they have this quality of spontaneously benefiting sentient beings. So, you know, the quality is that by nature pure, and also even by nature pure, and also temporarily pure, or so that one cannot say, you know, one cannot say that it is pure in one context and not pure in the other context. You know, temporarily and ultimately, you know, that that the Buddha embodies the purity.
Then the Majidan Hanjitu. Or that the Nida Sanjinya Ran Nam Sanjis Sanjinina Mata Tosera Seduna Yenji Chenji Tongman Baseduna. What you that in Raga Sanjiji to end the Majuranjan Nandagayon, Hanjitu Balo Nandagayon, Sejeti, Yenchiko Sarta Zujavachi Mayamba. What you that Sanji Ranga Tijiko Ishigo, the Nisir de Tawa Mata.
Then the third quality, which is a quality not being realized through the cause of others, is that the quality of the holy mind of the Buddha, you know, the transcendental wisdom, holy mind of the Buddha, is that it has qualities beyond the beyond the concept of bodhisattvas and ordinary sentient beings. You know, it's like cannot be conceived. You know, cannot ever imagine what these qualities are. And these, these are qualities. That the enlightened transcendental wisdom mind of a Buddha embodies, and not something So not realized through the cause of others basically refers to other ordinary sentient beings, you know, cannot ever express or cannot ever realize, conceive the qualities of the holy mind of a Buddha.
O Jida, Jinra Gujida, Jungationa Samra Juji. Then he then chant on Siji Delayan Ju, Santani Yuari. Chamber on this, Siji Jitava, Jitava, Tombani Chamber on the Jinya, but Kunduji Chin Chamber on the Jusen and Need Tina, Need Tion Yuari, Tongan Ranulan Chamber on the Tinga, Chute Duni, Jitava, Jinya, and Chamber on the Yonde Shamasamun, Tombo, Rangi Jiga Yuari.
And then the quality of knowledge, the knowledge also can be, you know, the knowledge that sees ultimate reality of phenomena and the knowledge that sees conventional reality. So one can, that knowledge can be distinguished into two, or just, you know, also is, you know, by saying that Buddha has the quality of knowledge that it sees both of these ultimate and conventional realities. And then the mercy here refers to, you know, the quality of loving compassion, and the power is the propensity or potential. You have the the quality of knowledge ever enhancing, the quality of loving compassion ever enhancing, and the quality of power or potential ever enhancing, or the quality of knowledge, loving compassion, power ever enhancing. So where it talks about these qualities of knowledge, loving compassion, and potential, so these are what is talked about in the in the fourth stanza, where it says, having become Buddhified, taught the path of fearlessness and permanence, so that those who had not realized it might realize it. So, and who, carrying the supreme sword and the diamond of knowledge and mercy, cuts the sprouts of suffering and destroys the walls of doubt that are surrounded by the darkness of various views. So all these, all these qualities of knowledge and loving compassion, the propensity or the power of all of these is to be utilized for cutting through, for cutting through the sprouts of suffering and destroying the walls of doubt that surround the darkness of the various views. So in this way, when you study, you study the detailed qualities that are stated in the fifth verse, and then apply their context to the fourth verse. And that way, one has a better understanding of it. Rumchi says, in the fifth stanza, you have the basic idea of what are the eight qualities of the state of Buddhahood. And so, since we have half an hour, Rumchi said, you can ask questions with regards to these points that, that you have questions about, or any questions with regards to Dharma. But if you don't have questions, then we can just continue. You just go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, yeah. You stated in terms of the quality of not being realized through the cause of others, if these were qualities that were beyond the concept of ordinary being, did you include bodhisattvas in that?
Mishi tanda yönden geyegi nani yönden sumbach yorba shengi wongi topu mangi.
Oh, really?
Di kunsu susuke guchugolu sungore yang chanju sambe namge ta sangegi tugi ishigi yönden zo.
Really? Di zang yonggi wari. Suwondawo yuzo zi jiwo yin lingi. Nanchi di kona tsangma jingi go chanju sambe tinda yuwari wa. Oji chanju sambe tazu yonggi.
It's primarily mentioned in the context of ordinary beings that are not able to realize, the qualities of Buddha. But also, you can have bodhisattvas who have yet to attain enlightenment. Are unable to totally conceive or express these qualities of Buddha. And then, Michi says, you can have. Those on the hearer's path and those on the solitary realizer's path too. Rumchi Nyeranda Ransange Kunanzue Tok.
Rida Nyeranda Zoji Nyeran Baba, you are the Ojida Nyeran Sujia, you are the Suzuki Konati Kongadin. Then Nyeran Baba Sudan, Changi Samba, Papa the Zoyena Yangji.
Rinpoche says, those you can have ordinary beings on the hearers and solitary realizers' part, and Arya beings of the solitary, Arya beings on the hearers and solitary realizers' part who are unable to express exactly, the qualities of enlightenment like that.
I was wondering if Rinpoche could explain more his first explanation of the word uncompounded as no beginning, middle, end in regards to the Buddha's decision.
Rinpoche tanded yönden tangbu jörwa.
Oh, really?
Dumachigi yönden jörwa.
Oh, really?
And di dumachigi yönden toma parda tagi tolchik tenchi gop. So when we talk about the quality of being uncompounded, then refers to the continuum of the holy mind for Buddha, which is empty of true existence. That emptiness, which is free of the two extremes. Of eternalism and nihilism, also you can say, that it is that it is free of the four extremes, and it stands middle of the four existence. Yet that middle is also empty of inherently existing. And so, when we talk about that quality of the holy mind of the Buddha, uncompounded in the sense that it is, unproduced, unceasing in the nature of space itself. The uncompounded characteristic also refers that to the quality that, you know, it is not something that which has been produced through a collection of causes and conditions.
ဒီမယန်ဒီအကောသမ္မဝိန္ဒမေဘရေရောင်ရှင်ရင်ရှင်ဒီမရှိစေနဝကြည်တာတင်ရကချာနီဟောကြည်ကသူကြည်ကသူဒင်ပြီသမ္မညတိတိစုံတင်ရချင်းရောင်ရှင်ကြည်တပြီတင်ပတ်တပြီသမ္မရီတော့ဒီတင်ပတ်မတင်ပတ်တပြီဝါရီစီကြည်သမ္မငွင့်စရာမင်းကြီးသမ္မတိငွင့်စရာမင်းကြီးဒါဝီတိယောင်ဝီလာနိဝါရီတိဝီတိယောင်ရောင်ရှင်ကြည်တပြီတောင်းတင်ကြီးကြည်က
So, when we talk about the emptiness of the holy mind of the Buddha, then that empty of a true existence of that mind, of that holy mind, you know, in that, you know, you cannot say. You cannot establish a point of a beginning to that holy mind being empty of truly existent. Nor can you establish an end as to when it was, you know, end of that, you know, holy mind being empty of true existence. Although there is a middle, yet that middle is also empty of, inherently existing.
Quality of power
from the Buddhist
holy mind,
can you
give a more extensive explanation of what is included in power?
Yuntengewa, Nube Yuntengewa.
Hori. 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 Chamba yodhi seva mingi, seva yodhi chamba mingi go ya tra dingi jiga yang dingi. Yang chasi sondri yin dingi yang yu dingi. Ta tindra ka ti nila sangu tonga yana chamba tang seva ya tra dingi go chamba niva chi. Yang tindra ka seva niva chi, chasi ririva niva si chi yang yu dingi. Yang chasi sondri ka niva yang yu dingi. Vena chi dosang ni yana
So when we talk about the power, the quality of power, that power is applied to for the power of the knowledge. The power of knowledge without the love and compassion, the power of the love and compassion, which is here translated as mercy, without the knowledge, of the unified knowledge and love and compassion. So just like, you have on the path of the sutra, you know, the power of the mind of single-pointed concentration, but without the power of the special insight. And then you have the power of the mind of special insight without the power of the karma mind. And then you have the power of the mind of the unified practice of karma abiding and special insight. So power in that context. You want to clarify?
Is there another English word for power?
It's potential. Also, potential. Tibetan, you can go power or potential. It's both the same. Nuba is actually more potential. Okay. You can go ahead.
My question is about what we call the prostration mantra. I've heard that it relates to the three jewels on that little introduction. I wonder if Rinpoche can explain.
Rinpoche, Charles says about Om Namo Manjushri Namo Sushi Shachorwa. 나 디 쿤초숨라 쿠고레스 제고레스 에치 코쇼스 디 딘데스베스
허리 버티데 임바예 삼스 나무는 디 나마세르 나마 아담마세르 이소와 디유아르와 디유마즈 디다 어제 이기던 진료인 도서에나 권서세 디 치마다 상양고요와 마르디 디 기완도지 카단의 소소를 시행하나 선지 권자 주 권자 근도 권자 선생인데 니든가 우리리 지마리 저는 주지 제가 지가 요딘 양지 선지 권자나 주 권자 근도 권자 선보디 선지 그 드려라 선지 코론 선지 권자인데 요아리 디 드려라 긴고네노 람데니 주 권자라 문는 그 요아리 드려 그 드니 선지 코론 법을 근데 연바 연두 디자니
you know, when we take refuge, then you have, you know, the rare and sublime Buddha, the rare and sublime Dharma, the rare and sublime, you know, Sangha. And then, although you have three main objects of refuge in the Buddhist context, then in other spiritual paths, then you have just one object of refuge, just, you know, identifying just one object of refuge. But here, you know, the object of refuge is kind of elaborated upon in these three contexts. Yet within the Buddha object of refuge, you know, you also, the Buddha object of refuge already embodies the Dharma object of refuge, because the Buddha has the realizations of the cessation and path of cessation, and the Buddha is also the Arya Sangha. And so, the Arya beings in the
solitary realizer's path are also in the category of the
Sangha object of refuge. So so in this way, Rinpoche says the mantra that you use is is applicable to the three objects of refuge.
Can you speak up, please?
Speaking about the emptiness of the holy mind, okay.
There are two phrases.
Can you speak up, please?
Yes, there are two phrases, empty of inherently existing and also empty of truly existing.
Mm-hmm.
Are those two different things? Can you explain?
Sangha is two. To Ranshin to be Tonga, the Demba to be Tonga, Ranshin to be Tonga, the Demba to be Tonga, Nija Tenda Chikwara. Same meaning, it's the same meaning, you know, when you talk about empty of inherent existence or empty of true existence.
Rinpoche
says these two terms mean the same thing in the context of the Madhyamika school, but again, when you take these two terms in accordance with the lower schools like the South African school and the Chittamatran school, these other Buddhist philosophical schools, then again they differentiate the meaning of these two things. But here, because we are going on the basis of the Madhyamika view, we have to follow the that they both mean the same thing.
Truly existent.
And This view where you say, you know, that other phenomena and thoroughly established phenomena, classifying them as truly existent and imputed phenomena as being, you know, empty of true existence is in accordance with the Chittamatran viewpoint. Okay, again, with the, you know, the Prasangika system, again, is different.
Number of the
those three terms that were utilized, and you know, classify them as you know, the two, you know, or the other phenomena, and then, you know, thoroughly established phenomena as being classified as truly existence is in accordance with Chittamatran viewpoint.
What that means?
Of course, from Jesus.
Rinpoche
says, you have these four Buddhist schools of thought. And, you know, the lower schools, to understand their viewpoint is important to as a foundation or as a way of being able to grasp clearly what the higher schools designate as their viewpoint. It's just like, you know, when you climb up the stairs, you know, you take the first step and then you take the second and third and fourth. The philosophical schools, you know, each of the lower schools is a foundation base for the for a better grasp of the higher school's viewpoint. Femal, go ahead.
This subject is hard to do. Can we get back to this? How, in what way is the power of the Buddha, how is that quality used in benefiting sentient beings and interacting? What does it actually do?
You know, for when you talk about the enlightened, the Buddhas engaging in the activities benefiting sentient beings, it is through the power of their, you know, knowledge, power of their loving compassion, that, you know, it is through the power of these qualities that they engage in the activities, giving Dharma teachings, giving guidance, to ripen or to nurture the Buddhahood potential in sentient beings. So, in that way, you have the power of, or the potential of the Buddha's blessing in sentient beings. Sentient beings do have the potential to attain enlightenment, but yet in order to actualize that potential, then it needs other powerful blessings to actualize that potential in the way of receiving the teachings, receiving the guidance as to how to engage in the proper mode of conduct of our body, speech, and mind in the practices to enable us to actualize that Buddhahood. For example, when you have a seed, that seed has the potential to grow into a flower, but yet that seed needs the other conditions of the soil, the water, the sun, the manure, like this, and then day by day, then gradually that seed is able to actualize that potential of flowering into something. And it is the same for us as sentient beings. Although we do have the potential to become enlightened, yet to really experience that potential, then one needs these conditions. For example, you can have the you can have the dried seed of that flower, but it has the potential, but it is very far away from actualizing that potential. Then when it goes into the earth, its potential becomes, potential for flowering becomes greater, and then when it when it meets with all the moisture, then even there's even more greater potential for it to flower. So like this example, it is the same for us sentient beings.
I have a question about the first point about the quality of Buddhahood uncompounded. If that refers to the ultimate nature, emptiness of the Buddha mind or Buddha, how is that a distinguishing quality of Buddhahood, because everything is empty through existence? Why does that distinguish, whereas spontaneity, mercy, power, these others seem to be something distinctive to Buddha?
Rumpu says, although emptiness is the same on the basis of every phenomena, in being empty it's the same, but what's the difference here? The basis of the emptiness which you're talking about, the enlightened mind of the Buddha, being empty of inherent. In that respect, it is different. If there's no questions, we'll stop here tonight and continue at the next lesson.
Sambo Jujur Adhamo Vara